This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Now on your top ag story from yesterday here on a Thursday morning, agriculture and ethanol producers declared double wins as Congress neared completion of a historic coronavirus rescue package, and the Trump administration decided against appealing a federal court ruling that struck down the EPA's biofuels waivers. Ethanol and farm groups hailed the administration's decision not to seek a rehearing by the full Tenth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals ruling that struck down earlier small oil refinery biofuels exemptions. Renewable Fuels Association President Jeff Cooper says his industry wants the ruling applied nationally.
We also believe that EPA should immediately announce that it will not approve any pending 2019 small refinery petitions that do not meet the criteria set forth by the recent Tenth Circuit decision.
Cooper says there are now 25 pending petitions. RFA, meantime, joined 96 other biofuel and farm-related groups in a letter to the president and leaders of the House and Senate,
calling on the administration and Congress to take action that will help ensure continued access to credit for our member companies and other small businesses, as well as certain tax relief measures.
The coronavirus rescue deal that was just reached was speeding towards congressional approval Wednesday. It includes billions of dollars in help for small businesses and new Commodity Credit Corporation Lending Authority and other aid for farmers and ranchers. But American Farm Bureau's Dale Moore says the aid is targeted and not a handout.
We are not advocating for Congress to fill up barrels full of money for the Secretary to simply ladle out. What we are supportive of is an effort to increase the Secretary's borrowing authority under the Commodity Credit Corporation, and to utilize those funds in such a manner as benefits farmers, ranchers, rural communities.
AFBF does call the aid package critical for farmers, adding it will allow USDA to begin crafting an appropriate relief program for agriculture. And going more in depth on the stimulus package, the $2 trillion stimulus package includes billions of dollars for U.S. ag. A quick analysis by the American Farm Bureau Federation shows agriculture is set to receive $49 billion. Of that, $14 billion is provided to the Department of Agriculture's Commodity Credit Corporation, as I aforementioned, and $15.8 billion is provided to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or known as SNAP. Meanwhile, $9.5 billion is provided to the Office of the Secretary for Livestock and Specialty Crops. $8.5 billion is provided for the Child Nutrition Program. Additionally, the funding includes $450 million for commodity assistance, $100 million for broadband grants, and $25 million for distance learning and telemedicine efforts. The agreement opens the door for a potential third round of market facilitation payments through the Commodity Credit Corporation, originally created to help farmers as the Trump administration carries out its trade agenda. Funding and additional round of payments through the program is a request for many groups in agriculture. In other ag news here on your Thursday, this week during National Ag Week, student leaders from across the country were scheduled to travel to D.C. to share the history and story of agriculture with congressional leaders. However, because of the coronavirus, the Blue Jackets can't meet with lawmakers in the nation's capital, which the FFA's Christy Meyer says is actually a blessing in disguise. She says now FFA wants all members from across the country to go on social media and share what farming means to them.
Instead of it just being this small group, now all of our students across the country who perhaps are at home doing e-learning but have a computer can jump online, especially on Facebook Live, and learn ways of how they can advocate for agriculture and tell our agriculture story.
Meyer says this is the perfect time for young and future producers to establish their own voice when it comes to telling agriculture's story.
At FFA, we know that our members are tomorrow's leaders. They're our future leaders. And it makes a difference when people hear from our young people of the importance of agriculture. They've heard a lot from some of us who are already in the industry, but when a younger voice and a younger face comes along, sometimes people listen to that a little more. So it's important that we continue the story of agriculture with our youth so they can continue to make this such a strong industry.
Meyer also says it's important to share the important role agriculture plays in today's culture and economy. In news from the ethanol industry, a new study shows Americans' ethanol industry employs a significantly larger share of military veterans than any other segment of the energy industry. Nearly one in five ethanol industry employees is a veteran at 19%, compared to the national average of 6% across all sectors of the workforce, according to the 2020 U.S. Energy and Employment Report that was published by the National Association of State Energy Offices and Energy Futures Initiative. Per 100 workers, the ethanol industry employs more than twice as many veterans as the petroleum, natural gas, nuclear, coal, and wind energy sectors. Across all energy segments, veterans comprise 9% of the U.S. energy sector's workforce, slightly above the national average. RFA President and CEO Jeff Cooper, an Army veteran who attained the rank of captain, says, quote, "The ethanol industry is a perfect fit for thousands of veterans across the country. With ethanol's jobs currently at risk due to the COVID-19 pandemic and other factors," Cooper said the report serves as a timely reminder that the ethanol industry is a crucial employer of veterans. Moving on now into State of Illinois Ag News on your Thursday. How just will agriculture fare in the $2 trillion economic stimulus package? Illinois Farm Bureau's Mark Gebhardt breaks down that issue.
There will be $9.5 billion that will be discretionary funds for the Secretary of Agriculture to use, again, at his discretion. That gives Secretary Perdue an awful lot of latitude to be able to see where needs are. I know that a lot of those needs with those discretionary funds have been talked about with specialty crop production. They've been talked about with respect to ethanol facilities. Our ethanol plants are really in a world of hurt with the situation in the fuel and the oil market and where prices are right now in that respective area. They are really being hard hit. And as you know, Rita, this is a significant percentage of corn purchases for us here in Illinois and in the Midwest. So we do really need to see if we can address trying to keep these plants viable. Livestock production, I'm sure, will also come into play there, whether it's dairy or beef, whatever it might be. So those discretionary funds, again, $9.5 billion. The other part of this for agriculture would be the $14 billion, which is an additional $14 billion to go in and replenish the Commodity Credit Corporation funds, which are typically around $30 billion is usually what's in that fund for use by USDA in a variety of different areas. That $14 billion would take that total up to about $32 billion. So we actually gain a little more than we would typically have in the CCC with what's in the package.
Yesterday, Wednesday, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin touted small business retention loans as part of the package. He said they would fund 8 weeks of salary and indicated the loans would be forgiven as long as the workers remain employed. Taking a look now at your latest ag weather report, above normal temperatures could be in play for the spring and summer months here in Illinois. That's the assessment from state climatologist Trent Ford.
Yeah, so across the board, outlooks for temperature are good as far as drying the soil are concerned. So pretty much all the way from the 6 to 10 day and the 8 to 14 day short-term outlooks, all the way through the long-term June, July, and August outlooks, we're showing elevated odds of above normal temperatures across the state. So warmer than normal conditions, of course, as we move outward in time, those probabilities get weaker as our uncertainty gets higher, but especially on the short term for the rest of this month into the first part of April, the probabilities are pretty strong for above normal temperatures, and that will help evaporate some of that moisture out of the soil as long as we don't see a lot of precipitation between then and now. So for the short-term outlooks, the next the 8 to 14-day outlooks from the Climate Prediction Center actually show elevated odds of below normal precipitation across the state, which is good to see. If we can get an extended period of time, 7 to 10 days, where we get warm temperatures and below normal precipitation, if not any precipitation, then that can definitely help kind of build in that capacity for soils. Looking farther out, the 30-day outlooks for April and then looking further out into May and June are all showing elevated odds of wetter than normal conditions across the state. Again, those aren't necessarily locked in, but if we don't build in that capacity in the soil to try to take in some of that moisture, we will see issues related to standing water in fields come mid-April into early May.
And we're already a week into spring. The first day of spring was last Thursday. Moving on now to the latest local livestock news. We have the report from the Greenville Livestock Auction's latest sale from yesterday, Wednesday. There were total receipts of 878, and compared to last week's sale, slaughter cattle sold sharply higher, with slaughter steers and heifers selling $11 to $11.25 higher. Slaughter dairy steers sold $5.50 higher. Trade was active with very good demand. Choice steers from 2 to 4s, there were 145 head on an average dressing with the average weight of 1,330 pounds, sold for that average price of $120.32. One choice steer at an average heavy weight that weighed 1,710 on an average price of $80. 39 head at an average weight of 1,365 on a high dressing, sold for the average price of $123.60. And 16 head on the low dressing of an average weight of 1,309 pounds, sold for the average price of $113.87. 28 steers from select and choice 2 to 3s on an average dressing had an average weight of 1,179 and an average price of $110.63. And select steers 1s and 2s on an average dressing, there were 4 head at an average weight of 1,008 pounds, average price of $85.09. And 2 head on an average return to feed dressing, their average weight was 1,050, average price $107.32. Heifers on a choice 2 to 4, 103 head on an average dressing with an average weight of 1,220 pounds, average price of $119.74. 1 head of cattle on an average lightweight dressing at 970 pounds, sold for $110. 21 head on a high dressing with an average weight of 1,337, sold for $124.32. And 12 head on a low dressing with an average weight of 1,220, sold for $111.24. Heifers of a select and choice 2 to 3s, there were 5 head on an average dressing with an average weight of 1,041 that sold for $104.99. And heifers select 1s and 2s, there were 2 head on an average dressing with an average weight of 1,050 that sold for $70.29. And in other sale barn notes, Doug Turnaugh, manager of the United Producers Sale Barn in Shelbyville, has said their feeder cattle special for this coming Tuesday is still on. Their cow special will be held as well, and that will be held a week from this coming Tuesday on April 7th. They only request at this time that the stands at the auction be limited to bidders only. Again, the feeder cattle special at the Shelbyville Sale Barn for this coming Tuesday is still on, as well as their cow special. That will be held on Tuesday, April 7th. Moving on now into local notes from around the area. The Montgomery County Farm Bureau is asking for donations of new or unused N95 masks. Local hospitals like St. Francis in Litchfield and in Hillsborough Area Hospital are in great need of them at this time, and N95 masks are generally the same masks that farmers often use when cleaning out grain bins. To help the local medical personnel keep safe, as well as their patients they are in contact with, the Farm Bureau is asking that farmers who have a few extra masks consider dropping them off at the Montgomery County Farm Bureau office on the Courthouse Square in Hillsborough. That drop-off will be held this morning from 9 until 11. They will then be directly delivered to the two local hospitals in the county. Your safety when delivering these masks is critical to the Farm Bureau. Therefore, there is a box located in the front foyer at the Farm Bureau office where you can drop those off. Due to the shelter-in-place order, they also ask that you only get out to drop off the masks if you feel that your trip is essential. And that'll wrap it up for this Thursday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag news for us or anything about the Ag Community Bulletin Board, those items can be sent to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Thursday morning, March 26th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.